Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am excited to bring you another podcast here today. And I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hello, everyone.
Amy, it is so good to see you today. It's great to do another podcast with you.
I know. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm excited about our topic for today.
I am too. Before we get to that topic, it's the beginning of October. We have a few things coming up this month for fellowship, for our fellowship family, that we wanted to just highlight real quick. If you have a chance, if you're listening to this before those events, we want you to know about them. The first one is
The Freedom Tour.
The Freedom Tour, yes.
So we're so excited about this event. You know, we've gotten all of our ministries launched this last month, and this month of October, we've got an exciting event coming up for women where we'll have Jenny Allen and Christy Knuckles here. Jenny's a speaker and writer, grew up here at Fellowship. And then Christy Knuckles, she and her husband were the band Watermark, and now she is leading worship and writing music, and so we're just so excited to have their team here.
That's right. And which campus is this going to be on?
This is going to be on the West Little Rock campus, and it's for all campuses, though, and it's October 17th.
October 17th.
And you need to purchase your tickets in advance. You can do that online, fellowshiponline.com/freedomtour.
I'm really bummed because this is a women's event.
Women only. I know I've had so many guys say, but I like Christy Knuckles, and I like Jenny Allen.
That's right.
Well, sorry.
Women only. Guys, stay home, watch your kids, and help your wife come to this event.
Yeah, it really will be a good one to bring friends to, make it a girls' night out.
That's good.
It's going to be a fun night. We're excited about it.
It's good. And also, coming up at the end of October is October 27th. We have Family Fest across all of our campuses. We're really excited about Family Fest and the opportunity to serve our communities from each of our campuses and just be the hands and feet of Jesus as we pass out candy and say hi to people onto our campuses.
You know, that one's so fun because, well, it's geared towards families and their little kids. Our kids are older now, and we still love to come out to Family Fest. It's a good opportunity for my older kids to serve. We enjoy just walking around, seeing all the little costumes, and being a part of it. It's just a great opportunity to just be family on our campus. A lot of our young adult singles come out and do trunks and participate as well, and it's on all campuses.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Well, Amy, today we want to get into a topic that's a little more sensitive, but I've had a lot of questions around this topic recently, and I thought it would be a really good opportunity to do a podcast on it to speak specifically toward singleness.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people in our church who are single. I want to be clear that it is not junior varsity. As we do this podcast and we're speaking towards singleness or about singleness, this is not, if you're single, you're not on the junior varsity team. And in fact, coming straight from what our elders have put forward with one of our position papers on marriage and on singleness, I wanted, Amy, just to start this by reading just a little bit from that, and then we'll introduce our guests today. To start this, it says, often churches work so hard to speak to the calling and ministry of marriage that Christians who are single can begin to wonder if deep down God wishes everyone was married. And we go in on our position paper to address that a little bit more. But at the very end of it, if I skip down a little bit, it says, marriage is a calling that honors God. Singleness is a calling that honors God. Neither is preferred. Neither is better or worse. Both can spiritually multiply. Both can fill the earth with people who fully reflect the image of God. And as such, there is no position in the church that should have marriage as a requirement attached to it. And those living in line with the gospel should celebrate people called to singleness every bit as much as those called to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to bring on a few guests with us. This is actually our young adult team. We have Justin Bilson here
with us.
Justin, it's good. This is your second time on the podcast.
Yes, it is. Glad to be back.
And you're here because you work with young adults.
I do.
And because by nature, there's a lot of young adults who are single.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right. And also, our young adult women's pastor, we have Trish White here with
us
today.
Hello.
Trish, you serve young adults,
yes.
But you also are single yourself, and you bring a good perspective for us as we talk about this topic.
Yes, I'm excited to be able to talk about this today.
That's good. It's really good to have you guys here. And actually, Amy, I guess before we get started, Trish, you're going to be speaking directly to singleness on October 8th at the next Young Adult Night. So October 8th, our next Young Adult Night, you'll be speaking directly about singleness. So all of our young adults need to come out and listen.
That's right. If you want to hear more about this.
Married
this
or single, come listen.
Yes. We're going to tackle the question, why am I still single? And so I'll be talking about that. And I'm excited.
That's good.
That's a great one. So Trish, I've been in your role, and I know that these conversations come up a lot with men and women, Justin and Trish, both of you. So what are the main issues that you hear out there when it concerns singleness? What are the main things that people talk to you guys about?
Yeah, I think I would say this is a thing that I sit with many girls, and some of it is just the role I'm in, and then some of it is just the season that I'm in, that I am single. And so I love getting to sit with girls and talk to them about this. And one of the big things as we talk through singleness, that just this feeling of, man, I have something that I desire and I have something that I long for, but the tension they're living in at the same time of, but I want to make the most of the season I'm in. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they're just living in this tension of one foot is struggling because they have something they want and desire and it's not being given to them at the time. Mm-hmm. And then the other foot is going, man, but this is where God has me and I want to do that. And so I think there's this, when you are single a lot of times, and the older you get and you're single, you do feel a little bit like you're living in a tension. And so that's what I feel like a lot of times with singleness, there is like the loneliness factor. There's a factor that they feel like they're being overlooked, mm-hmm. or the point where they feel like friends are stepping into new seasons and they're just still in the same season over and over again as friends start to get married, have kids, buy a house, all of those things. A lot of times singles can feel like they are being passed or being left out. And so those are just some of the things mm-hmm. I've kind of seen.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
I would say from the guy's perspective, to add to what you said, Trish, this sense of immediacy that it needs to happen now, that I want to make it happen now. I want to find the right person now. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And they have this plan of how they want everything to shape out. And a lot of times it doesn't work out that way. Or maybe the immediacy of what they feel needs to happen right now, that's not in God's timing. And so I think really resting in knowing that it will happen when it's supposed to happen. It may not happen the way in which you think it should or the time in which you think it should, but really trusting God's timing. I think that's the biggest thing. And also really fighting against the cultural misnomer of how do I find the right one? How do I know if she's the right one? Mm-hmm. Which, as we know as believers, Christ is the only right one. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, he's the right one for all of us, single, married, or other. So I think we just have to rest in knowing that is the truth that we live under. And so I think that's kind of what I've heard from some of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Amy, that's such a great question. And while we have our young adult pastors here, I want to be very clear that it's not just young adults mm-hmm. who have questions around singleness in our mm-hmm. church. People who are in the middle of their life or even seniors have questions about mm-hmm. singleness. Mm-hmm. I was sitting with a friend recently who was telling me, he's like, Dan, I love the church, but I'm not married and I feel less than because of that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can hang out with some of my friends. I can go out on Friday evening with some of my friends from the church. But at the end of the night, I still go home to an empty house. Mm-hmm. I'm still alone. How do I deal with those? Mm-hmm. How do I deal with those kinds of things?
Yeah, I'd love to hear, Trish, just some of your journey, because mm-hmm. I think that you have modeled so well what this journey can look like. And how you can live in community as a single person in our church. And so could you just share a little of what your journey's been?
Yeah. And for me, you know, I always kind of start out by saying God has invited me into a story that I would have never chosen for myself. Singleness is not what I would have chosen, but being on this side of it, I have been through a lot of wrestling, a lot of pain, and I love where I'm at. And I can say that. And so I want to be sensitive to, I realize I'm in a place right now where I really enjoy being single and I can see the gift that it is and I can see how God's allowed me to do stuff. But I do, as we, you know, walk through this podcast, I was praying this morning just that I would be sensitive to where other people are at in the midst of the pain and the hurt and the, you know, feeling less than or feeling lonely. And so for me, as I think back through, you know, I graduated from college and didn't, you know, wasn't dating anyone when I graduated college. And I had always just thought you graduate from college, you meet someone in college, you get married, and you kind of start your life. And so when that didn't happen, I remember thinking, huh, that didn't happen. It kind of, you know, maybe that will happen later. But that was always weird for me, was like, oh, okay. And a lot of my friends didn't meet anyone in college and didn't get married. And so it wasn't super hard when I graduated from college and wasn't getting married because I had other friends. But, you know, I kind of jumped into my 20s and I started working at a camp full time. And again, I was around a ton of people that were single, guys and girls that were single, and we were just doing ministry together. And so my early 20s, it wasn't hard at all. You know, I'd have moments where I was like, oh, I wish I was married, I wish I had kids. But I hit mid-20s and a lot of my friends started getting married, started having kids, just kind of starting those next steps of what I kind of see as the next steps in life. And I remember kind of all of a sudden in mid-20s looking around and going, oh, wait, should I desire that? I think I do want that. And so there just became this time, kind of mid to late 20s, where I really, it was hard. And I just felt lonely. Now, I lived with roommates. I always had tons of friends and roommates around. But I can remember in my 20s and then early 30s, really wrestling with just feeling like I had missed the opportunity. I'd missed my opportunity to get married. And I struggled with that. I felt lonely. I had seasons where I thought God had forgotten me. And just all those things that we hear about with single people wrestling with, I have probably been there at some point and wrestled with those things. And it was hard and it was excruciating. And I would sit through a service, you know, on a Sunday morning and I would cry because the worship songs would cause me to just long for this thing that, which was marriage and a family, and I wondered if I would be single forever. And I can remember those times, and I can remember it just being so painful and just hurting, and I would go to more weddings and more showers and baby showers and all of that. And those became hard, and they became so hurtful. And, you know, when I was mid-30s, I took a trip. I went to Israel, and the Lord just really allowed that time to be a time of wrestling with him. And it has, I kind of came back from Israel and there was probably a 3-year period where I really wrestled, I would say, with my singleness and with who is God in my singleness, and has God forgotten me? Does God love me? Does he truly think singleness is the best for me? And so being on the other side of that now, because I can say I am just in a place now where, you know, I have been able to see God's faithfulness to me through my singleness. I have been able to grow deeper and closer to him through my singleness. All of that has really pushed me closer to him. And so I think for me, being on this side where I am, you know, I don't know that I hesitate using that word content, but I would say I am content being single. I still desire to have a family. I still desire to be married, but I do feel like I can live in the tension of wanting something, but knowing that this is where God has, and choosing every day. For me, I really try to, I mean, every day I know I have a choice to make, and I can choose to honor God where he has me. And that really is kind of what I'm striving to do right now. Mm-hmm, so
It's really good. So marriage is a gift from God. Yes. Singleness is a gift from God. Is it okay to be single but long to be married or have a desire to be married? And is that okay? Is that being discontent? How do we struggle with that? How do we flesh that out a little bit?
Obviously, speaking from the perspective of a married person, I would say there's nothing wrong with it longing, as long as you don't lose focus on what matters most. Because I think a lot of people have a tendency to idolize and almost worship marriage and not God, because they feel like marriage is the ultimate sanctifier. If I get married, everything's going to be better. Everything's going to be great. And reality is that's not the case. I mean, marriage was designed to be the mirror to show us who we are, and it helps to shape us, and it should, a biblical, God-centered marriage should help shape us more into the image of Christ. And so I think as long as we're not worshiping marriage or what we think marriage is, then I think we're okay. You know, as long as we keep God in the center point, the center focus, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I would add to, I mean, I totally agree with what Justin's saying. A friend had once told me because, you know, I always say I shy away from that word content, because I have been told before, man, if you are just content with the Lord, God will bring you someone. Mm-hmm. And I do believe mm-hmm. that's a lie, because I have had seasons of being content and the Lord hasn't brought me someone, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I know that word contentment or content mm-hmm. can be a trigger word for people that are single. But I had a friend one time that she just said, you know, Trish, being content, it doesn't mean that it eliminates a desire. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. all in our lives around this table, married or single, we all have things that we long for and that we desire for that God has just said, you know what, not right now, or maybe that's not the right season, the right timing. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that we can't accept where the Lord has us now. Yeah. So I feel like I can be content with the Lord where he has me now, but I can also still have that longing. But I don't need to let that rule, like Justin's saying, rule my life.
You know, Trish, one of the things I've loved that we've done in young adult ministry, me previously, you currently, is the Sex and the Single Girl study.
Yes.
And in that study, she does such a good job of talking about this desire and longing and how it ultimately points to our need for the Lord. That, like, that longing, he placed that in us to show us how much we need him. And regardless of if we're single or married, we have that, as you said, that longing within us. And it ultimately points to our need for the Lord. And I just think that's beautiful design by him and such a reminder of our need for him. Mm-hmm.
So as you guys interact with young adults, how do you guide them towards the truth of the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about singleness?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the first ones, the first thing I think initially is just looking at what Paul says. As we know, Paul's a great example of what it's like to be single and to fully go, okay, like, here's, I am fully moving forward in ministry and being single. And so Paul talks about singleness as a gift. One of my favorite things, and we even came across it last week as a staff, we were reading through it, but 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called to him. And that to me is such a reminder that God has called each of us to different place, and we all have different gifts. We all have different seasons we're in, but he's called us there. And so, and you know, again, I want you to know that has taken wrestling for me to get to this place. I have not just always felt this way, but as I have wrestled with that, I really truly believe the Lord has called me to singleness right now. I don't know if that's forever, but I want to please him, and I want to honor him where he's called me. And I don't want to look back one day and go, man, I wasted 20 years of singleness because I didn't live with where he had called me.
You know, Trish, and stop me if I'm overstepping a little bit or making a comparison that doesn't line up, but I think a lot of us can identify with some kind of longing that we want in our life that we're just not happy with where we're at. And it's a struggle for us, and we have to go before the Lord and say, God, this is what I want in my life, but I know you don't have me there, and I have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So in a lot, I know there's areas of my life where I think that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the people that I connect with the most on a heart level with some of this longing stuff, as we start to look at it as a longing and not just singleness, and then maybe as a desire that's not filled, some of the women that I've connected with the deepest are women that are married, and they still long for something. And so I think for me, I've had to get out of the perspective and the mindset that woe is me being single.
Well, that's a good word too. It's a good word to married people who think, well, maybe I don't really understand singleness. You actually do, because in your own life, you're dealing with that same longing. We all are longing for something that we're looking to fill outside of the Lord. And so we can relate at that heart level. And that's such a good reminder for us.
So what does it mean to take advantage of the opportunity of singleness? We talked about singleness being a gift, and that it's a good gift from God. But what does it look like to take advantage of it? What would you say to someone who feels stuck in their singleness, like they haven't achieved what they need to before they can do things for God?
I would say don't lose sight of the grander picture. If you remember those, they're not that old, but the picture-in-picture TVs. So you could see, like, the huge, you know, if you're talking football, you see the whole game. Mm-hmm. And then the picture-in-picture, you see a real small, brief clip of something, whether it's a player, whether it's one of the individual plays or something like that. So the idea behind that is all of us, but especially those who are single, again, speaking from a married context, but as one of the young adult pastors, I think it's very easy to get lost in staring at the small picture and losing sight of the grander picture. That the grander picture is whether you're single, whether you're married, God uses us to glorify him and and bring others to him through that life. And so the point is, whatever life we live, whether married or single, whether parents, adopting, fostering, whatever that may be, God wants us to use our lives in a way that glorifies and honors him. And so really asking the question, in my season of singleness, it's not a curse, it's not a stage, it's not a punishment, if you will, but it's a season that God calls you to use in a way that glorifies him. And so I would challenge any young adult or any person listening to this, whether you're still single or maybe single again, maybe having lost a loved one, I mean, lost a spouse or widowed or anything like this, what would it look like to say, hey, maybe there's a dream that I need to pursue. Maybe there's a business that I need to start. Maybe I need to go back to school or continue school. But to use the gifts and the talents that I have to glorify God and not get stuck at looking at the picture in picture to say, why can't this happen? When is it going to happen? But to really trust and know that God's timing is best, that God knows what we need. And the beautiful thing is, I mean, even if we look in scripture, a lot of the people that we love and that we praise were not married. Paul was not married. And he wrote pretty much every scripture we read at weddings, and he wasn't married. And so, again, God can use both. And so it's not either or, like you said in the beginning in our position paper that the elders wrote, it's not either or, but it's both. And God can use both in very beautiful and God honoring ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would, as Justin's saying, I mean, he is. And this is something I don't want to come across as insensitive, because I have taken it the wrong way when I have been in my sensitive moments. But you have time as a single person. And as a single person, I can say that. We have extra time that we have for being single, because we're not putting kids down to bed, because we're not, you know, you're cooking for one instead of, and some that, yes, that we can sit in that and that can be hurtful. But about 5 years ago, I took several poster boards in the floor of my kitchen, and on each poster, one poster I wrote down, because I am single, what have I had time to do that I would not have had time to do if I were married? And then on the next poster, I wrote down a list of names of people that I have gotten to just meet with, pour into, invest in, because I am single, because I have that time. And then I did a list of the places I've gotten to travel just because I am single, and because I have time. And let me tell you, when I did that, and I remember standing up in my kitchen floor just going, wow. Like, I mean, it really, I had to take a step back, and it allowed me to see that I do have time. And so what am I spending my time doing? I mean, and it's kind of that whole thing of, it is easy to sit in our houses, and it is easy to sit and be alone and to feel lonely. But when I am out and serving and going, hey, there are people that need help. There are single moms. There are families that need help. There's teenagers that need help. There's so many places you can go and serve and use your time. Spend your time when you're single well. That would be my encouragement.
Gosh, yeah. I love that, Trish. Just that image of you writing those things out is so powerful, because I think that for so many people listening to this, they need that encouragement that sometimes we have to step back and we have to look at, what are the gifts that God has given me in this season? And that's hard to do sometimes. And so I just love hearing that, hearing the way that you just took that time to reflect and really be thankful, and in a circumstance that you weren't necessarily wanting. So I love that.
Yeah, well, let's take another look at this, and whether married or single, let's ask the question: what can the church do to engage with people around this topic of singleness? And when I say church, I don't mean staff. I mean the body of believers, our church body. What can we, as part of the body of Christ here at Fellowship, on all of our campuses, do to engage this topic of singleness? Let's talk about what does it look like to be healthy, successful, and a single adult?
Yeah, I would say a healthy, successful single adult is someone that, you know, you might still have the longing and the desire to be married, but you have wrestled with the Lord in that, and you wake up every morning and you choose that, you go, man, this is where the Lord has me, and how can I make the most of where the Lord has me right now? And I think we all, again, I think this is one of those things where we can all do that around this table, married, single, or not, is just, man, here's where the Lord has me today, and what am I going to do today to honor and to glorify Him?
That's good.
What does it look like for the church to be encouraging to those who are single? Like on a Sunday morning, for example, what does it look like? I've heard singles tell me that it's really hard to walk into a church by yourself on a Sunday morning. What does it look like for us as a church to be encouraging to those singles walking into a church?
I think one of the things that we've heard from our young adult community is the cry for married people to not isolate themselves. Because I know, especially when you're young and you get married, you feel this tendency to isolate yourself and you can't hang out with your single friends anymore. My wife and I heard that when we were in our premarital counseling. But what we've learned is your single friends need you more than ever. Because in many ways, when you are young and married, you have a window into you give them a window into a world that they may not have access to. And so you can be there to answer questions and, well, how does this happen? And why is this? And why is that? And so I think making sure that, especially, and this is helpful for me as a married person, having people around me, there are guys that I disciple who are single. If nothing else, it helps to give me a different perspective. And so I think just making sure that your circle of friends is diverse enough to where, because I mean, you know, we all in this room have children, but it's cool if I hang out with, you know, like Amy has teenagers, she can speak to things that I can't speak to yet. Whereas you and I, we have little kids, so we get that, you know,
right, we understand
that. Trish and I get that as well. So we can speak to different things. So I think being diverse in the voices that are in your circle, as well as remembering that we, as scripture says, we weep with those who weep, we mourn with those who mourn. And so the reality is I may not understand your experience, but I can empathize with it. And I think that Christ-like compassion is what we all need to exude and walk in. So,
don't you think too that I love the imagery of the church as family, and that is just, I'm watching that even as you said, I have teenagers, and I have one that's a freshman in college right now, and the thing that she told me is, Mom, I love going to church in college because every day I'm around people just my age. I'm around a bunch of college students, all single, and I walk into the church and I remember family, and and I have all different ages come around me, and so I do think we have such an opportunity as a church body to be family to one another, regardless of the stage of life that we're in.
Yeah,
and I would even say, I mean, this goes beyond the church doors, but not being afraid to invite a single person over for dinner if you're a married couple. I love that. And I don't care that there's chaos going on with your family. I don't care if you're living room stuff. I leave and I go home. I am currently fostering, so I don't go home to an empty house. But used to, I would go home to a quiet, empty house. And so there is something that is so fun about going to a house that may seem chaotic. It may seem crazy and fun. And I love being able to read to your kids and help with bedtime that night that I'm over there. That is fun for me, because to me that's not a chore when I'm single. That's something that's fun. And so I get to, when I step into a married person's house, I get to step into something that is like totally different for me. And so that's one of the things I think I would encourage is, if you are married, find a couple single people or find one single person and just invite them over every few weeks to have dinner. That has been such a huge blessing to me. I have some friends that do that. And then if you're single, go. And you know what? Being a foster parent now, it is the biggest blessing to go and read, like do bedtime, like help the kids brush their teeth, help them read a book. That's a huge relief to that parent. And so it goes both ways. I think it can be such a, like you're saying, Amy, it really is like this big extended family, and it's such a gift to both sides.
Yeah,
I will add this, because I know you probably won't say it, but I'll say it on behalf of all married people. Stop trying to hook your single friends up with other people. Leave them alone. Let them find someone.
Oh, that's an interesting point, Justin.
Because we all have that matchmaker.
Okay, I feel like I've heard that one both ways, though.
Yes.
I have heard
okay
that, and then I've heard other people say, no, please do set us up because we want to meet somebody.
Is that
so I'll tell you, here's my opinion in mind. I'll be for everyone, but here's my opinion. So I have some friends that, I mean, every time I see them, it's like, hey, have you met someone? Hey, do you have anybody? Are there anybody? Mm-hmm. And that friend is draining to me because mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I have not.
I'll let you know.
And since 2 days ago, I haven't met someone. And so that kind of thing is draining. But mm-hmm. I have also had friends that have I trust, and mm-hmm. I trust them, and I trust that they are a great yeah. judge of character. And they've said, hey, we have someone. Would you be willing to go hang out with them? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I would love that. And so for me, I don't know if that makes sense, but it does kind of go yeah. both ways.
I do Enneagram 9 in you.
Yes, I know that piece. I do, because I would love if there's couples that I trust and I know that they know someone and they know me and they know my character, then I would trust them to say, yeah, sure, fix me up with someone.
Uh-huh. Mm. So the key is not being like consumed with trying to make sure you meet somebody and
no.
be all
yeah, yeah, no pressure.
But if you do know someone, have somebody in mind,
don't hesitate to
yeah. ask, would you be willing to meet this person?
Yeah, we have to be really careful as married people, because that's almost lifting our position up above singleness and mm-hmm. saying, your position is not as good because you're not married. Well, that's not true at all. So mm-hmm. we have to be really careful with that when we're trying to set up with dates and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. Trish, do we need to put your email on the podcast?
Yes, we'll put my profile on. Just kidding.
Might get a couple of inboxes.
That is Jay Bilson at fellowshipatlanta.com.
Jay yeah, Bilson.
My wife, like, who is this
now? Yeah. Will filter those.
Send your complaints to Jay Bilson. You know, Trish, I want to say that to my single friends here at Fellowship, that I know sometimes on Sunday mornings you feel alone, like because you sit alone. I want to invite you to come sit with me, my family, sit with families or others that you know in our church. It's not awkward for you to walk up and sit with a family just because you don't have a family of your own that you're raising. We want our kids involved with your life just as much as we want them involved in our family. And so please come sit with us. I just want to speak against that awkwardness a little bit, you know.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for saying that. And I would just challenge our single people that are listening, don't be afraid to go up to families and sit with them. Mm-hmm. Because again, I think we both have to take it's like anything. We both have to take a step towards each other mm-hmm. or it won't change. Mm-hmm. And so, if you're single, don't be afraid to walk up to one of your mm-hmm. married couple friends and say, hey, can I sit with you today?
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. awesome. I wanted to ask another question. It might be a little dangerous because we didn't prep for this question at all. We didn't talk about it beforehand, but the reality is in our church that most often when someone is teaching on Sundays or preaching on Sundays, they're teaching or preaching from a lens or a perspective of marriage because that's where they find themselves. So often I've heard singles tell me that it's hard to sit in a sermon where someone's preaching from that framework or from that lens because it doesn't translate for them or they have to do some translation for themselves. Am I making sense with that question? How would we suggest that the singles engage with a sermon or a message coming from that perspective?
Yeah, and I can see that, and I've heard that before with some of our singles, and there have even been times where, you know, maybe it is speaking towards family or the examples are with kids or with family. And so I can see where that can come across. And I honestly think it's with anything else. I think it is, you know, God speaks to us through his word. And I think we have to take what is being said. And then I think you go, okay, how is God trying to speak? How does God want to speak to me? And you know, some of that is grab another single friend and talk about how does that apply to you? Because God's word speaks to us, single, married, widowed, any of that. God's word speaks to us as we know. It meets us where we're at. And so some of that, I think it is easy. And again, I think we can be sensitive when we are being single. It is an emotional thing. And so sometimes we can approach a Sunday morning, so we can be very sensitive to what we hear. But I would say what I've kind of learned is just approaching it, going into worship service and just asking God to speak to you. And he will. He has put leaders in our church mm-hmm. and he has equipped them to speak. And I think he will speak through that. But mm-hmm. I've felt that sometimes. But that's where I think, man, that is just processing that with people and going, man, how does that apply to me?
Yeah, that's good.
I would also say, again, to my earlier point, whoever is in your circle is in your ear. And so as a married person, as obviously I'm not a teaching pastor, but as one who does communicate at different campuses, I have to remember that everyone in the room isn't married, doesn't have kids, may not want kids. Some people may be divorced. Some people may be widowed. Some people may be single. Some people may want kids, can't have kids. Some people may not, you know, so everybody's in a different stage. But I think as a communicator, we have to remember everyone in the audience doesn't think like me. They don't look like me. They don't believe like me. They don't necessarily process things the way I do. But I think if we're able to speak in a way that touches everybody, which the gospel does, and the power of Christ can. But I also think from a day-to-day basis, who's in your circle? So making sure that you surround yourself with different people, with different voices, because if nothing else, it trains you to see things, not, excuse me, not just from your perspective. So, you know, seeing things from a non-married perspective or a parent perspective or a grandparent perspective. So just making sure you have different voices in your ear. And so just, you know, whoever is in your circle is in your ear. So just making sure you keep that broad and diverse. So.
That's really good. That's really good. Trish and Justin, I really appreciate you guys coming on to Fellowship Talks and being willing to talk on this topic of singleness. Thanks we could keep going us. For a while on this. Yeah. There's so many more questions we could ask to hear your stories a little bit more, to hear your godly wisdom a little bit more on this. But we do have to call it on the podcast because we only have a certain amount of time. And as a part of that, we don't want to stop talking about it. We want this to be an important topic and an important issue here at Fellowship for us to be aware of. We're going to attach a few articles to the podcast notes that speak directly to singleness. And one comes from Desiring God, which it says, "Is my singleness a gift?" Another one comes from the Gospel Coalition that says, "Four things that God says to singles." And we want you to know, we want the people of our church to know that marriage and singleness are equal together. We don't hold one higher than the other. Mm-hmm. God speaks to both of those. And, you know, as I was sitting here thinking, I was like, wait, our Savior, he came to earth as a single man and spoke on all these issues. He was a single man speaking on marriage and everything. True. And so the guy who we call King, who came to this earth, God on earth, came as a single man too. Mm-hmm. And that just validates so many things for me in my heart there. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, thank you both so much. This was just incredible.
Thanks for having us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Amy, this is a really good topic. We want to do more topics like this, topics that are harder to get into, that are at times painful for people as they work through some of these topics. And we'll be bringing some other topics around these areas with some of our teaching pastors. We'd love to have Justin and Trish back on the podcast to talk about some of these things. But it's another good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.